A few weeks ago, my wife took our infant for his checkup. And in the course of the conversation, the pediatrician said, "So he's using a spoon, right?" So dinner that night, my wife relays that information to me. And you know, giving an infant a spoon, it makes sense, right? They need to learn fine motor skills and be able to feed themselves. But not on lasagna night, right? Like, it's messy. It's just very, very messy. But it all makes sense, right? You give the kid the spoon knowing that it's going to be messy and that they're more liable to put the food in their ear than in their mouth. It just happens, but we expect that. But it makes sense. You get a tool and you use it, and at the beginning you use it poorly, but then you get better and better. And that's the way that we teach our children, right? We give them things and then they're kind of messy, but it grows them toward maturity. We see this in our jobs, don't we? When you're the one responsible for the new hire, for training. So you train them. So first you give them information to help them kind of understand the overall plan. And then you start giving them more and more responsibilities. And then lo and behold, what's going to happen? Every new employee and some old employees end up making a mess, right? That's just the way it is. We see that in life, and it's no different in the church. In this period of the year, we're looking at what the church can become, and we're kind of thinking about what it means for a congregation to mature, to grow up. What does God want from us? And in verse 12, it says that He wants us to grow up into maturity, into the fullness of Christ. The question is, how do you get there? Now, one of the ways that you would maybe answer that question is, well, if a church is going to grow into maturity, then they need a really good pastor. And that it really rises or falls on the pastor. Now, pastors have a place for it. But what we see in the background of this passage is that Paul himself is a prisoner of the Lord. Now, he is a prisoner outside of the church, not inside the church. So he is writing this letter to them, and he says in chapter 3, "Look, I do not want you to despair because I have chains on me. I don't want you to think that the life and the work of the church is going to stall because I'm not there." It continues that the church, the vision of the church, what God is doing in this world is much bigger than one person. It is much bigger than one church. It is much bigger than one ethnicity. It is much bigger than one denomination or one country. And so it doesn't rise or fall on one person unless that person's God. So Paul says, the very last verse, "To Him, God, be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever." So how is God going to be praised? God is going to be praised when the church grows into maturity. But how is the church going to grow into maturity? And this is what Paul says. The church grows into maturity by God giving gifts, skills, passions to individuals, and then those individuals use it ultimately to equip the saints. That's you and me together, so that we all equip one another for the ministry of the church. It doesn't rise or fall on one person. It's very, very interesting. So he gives some to be apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. And I want you to look at this in verse 11. "The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." For what? What's their job description? To equip the saints for the work of ministry. That it doesn't even rise and fall on people with these five kind of talents or gifts, but that the whole work of the church is taken on by everybody. I wonder what you think of that. I wonder what you think of that. That Jason is trying to get out of his job by making me do it. No, of course not. but that my job as a pastor and our job as a consistory and as other leaders is to equip you, is to put the tool in your hand, and then we all work together in the ministry of the church where we all grow in our understanding of what it is that we believe, and then even grow in our experience of God's love. That's what ministry is. We have another son who's 4, and he is in the 4-year-old classroom in our nursery school. And at the beginning of the school year, he was not interested at all in letters or numbers, really couldn't care less. If he could care less, he didn't let on that he could care less. But you know, when I drop him off sometimes a little bit late or pick him up or I'm there a little bit early, you know what I never see? I never see his teachers, Miss Hanneberg and Miss Beverly, I never see them doing his classwork. Where would you be in school if the teacher did your classwork? So, likewise, what we know from that example, that my son's love now of letters and numbers is because he was in a loving environment that encouraged him, that asked him questions, that engaged him, and now he's growing. He's growing to be more mature in his understanding of the world and what's on the page, and even his own thoughts. And it's the same thing in the church. How boring would it be if one person did everything? Sure, it might be exciting to see how long that person could last, but you don't want to be a spectator. Don't you want to be a part of a church where you, yourself, you grow in your understanding of what it is that you believe? And don't you want to be a part of a church where you grow in your understanding of God's grace, and then you see it demonstrated by the people around you? It's what I find so interesting about the last phrase in verse 16. He starts talking about to equip the saints, and then he talks about the body, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and building itself up in love. When you express love to someone, it can be verbal, but it's often demonstrated. And the way that you demonstrate your love to the person across the aisle from you is by serving them in the best way that you know how. But this is what I know, that some of you think that you have little to nothing to offer, and then some of you are very cognizant of what it is that you could offer. But I want to say this. This is a phrase that I heard from a friend recently as we're talking about this. My friend said, really it comes down to this. You bring the wood, God brings the fire. It doesn't matter what kind of wood. You just bring the wood and God brings the fire. Doesn't that ring true? It doesn't matter if it's small, if it's little, even if it's your brokenness or experiences in the past that didn't go right. God works in those things. You bring the wood, God brings the fire. There's one other thing that we must work through, and it's this. How many times have you found yourself saying, it would just be so much easier if I did it myself? Here's the problem with that phrase. It's true. That's the problem with that phrase. It's true to a certain point. Jesus ministered for 3 years. The first half of his ministry is him teaching and spending time with the disciples. And the last half, he sends them out for these missions, and then they come back and he gives them feedback. Like, no, we're not going to strike them down because they didn't believe. We're going to go to the next town, okay? We're going to put that in the rearview mirror. And then these disciples remember on the night that he was betrayed by everybody, not just Judas, those are the same people that he comes back and says, I'm going to use you to go to all parts of the world so that other people can believe. God works in our mess, and he works through our message. Aren't you happy about that? You don't have to have it all together. I don't have to have it all together. We bring the wood, and sometimes it's soaking wet. And we say, God, could you just do something with this? Don't you want to be a part of that kind of church where you just grow in what it is that you know and then what you see God doing in other people? So friends, let's follow this man. Let's follow this person named Jesus and have him teach us and have him send us off into these wonderful excursions of mission and then come back and encourage one another with these words. So what is it? What is your gift, your passion, your skill? What is it that you could bring to the Lord and ask him to use it for his glory and for the good of others? Let's bow and pray. God, I pray that you would help us to understand our very important role in the life of this church, whether we're members or not, or attending, or friends, or whatever our situation might be, but we are here for a very specific reason. And I pray that you would take our mess and that you would craft it into a message of redemption and hope and beauty for the world around us to see. And that as we do this, we would grow in both understanding just how diverse the gifts you give are, and then how you work in people like us. God, thank you. It's almost humorous and comical that you would choose to do it this way, but you have chosen to do it this way. So help us. Help us to trust and be happy along the way. So we give you thanks for this and all blessings. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.